The time is 6 o'clock. This is Radio Ghana, the news presented by Abraham Donko
and Jonathan Thompson.
In the headlines, National Council of NPP recommends suspension of party chairman Paul Afoko for alleged breach of party's constitution. Former President Rawlings calls for circumspection in dealing with alleged corruption scandal in judiciary. Public warned against engaging services of middlemen in acquisition of passport. And U.S. suspects IS militant group still use deadly chemical weapons in Iraq and Syria.
TBC must clean the airwaves with nothing but quality news and programming.
The news now in detail. The National Council of the NPP has given clearance for processes to suspend the party's chairman, Paul Afoko, for alleged breach of the party's constitution. The council has, in a 7-page letter to the party's disciplinary committee, ordered that steps be taken to suspend Mr. Afoko from the position of chairman. This was after the council met with Mr. Afoko over some turbulence in the party. The letter signed by the chairman of the council, C.K. Tadam, accused Mr. Afoko of breaching many aspects of the party's constitution. The letter, copied to former President John Ejikunkufo, minority leader Osaiche Mensa Bonsu, and the general secretary Kwame Japong, said at a meeting held on the 30th of July 2015 between the Council of Elders and the national executives, it was made clear the need to keep party matters away from the media. It was also agreed at another meeting chaired by Paul Afoko that the allegation of financial malfeasance should be investigated by a 5-member committee and the findings submitted in a week. The statement said it therefore came as a surprise to the NEC and the National Council of Elders to read in the dailies a statement from one Anaya Osei, who described himself as spokesperson for Mr. Afoko, about fighting corruption at all levels of the party. The elders said the chairman's acceptance to allow the intrusion by the police in the party's internal matter following a complaint of a so-called party member leaves much to be desired. It said the conduct of Chairman Afoko and its alleged spokesperson is in gross and flagrant violation of the NPP's constitution. The statement therefore calls for at least the suspension of Chairman Afoko until the 2016 elections.
Former President Jerry John Rawlings has called for circumspection and tact in dealing with the revelations that some members of the judiciary have been implicated in a bribery scandal. He said he is saddened by the matter and has therefore appealed to the public and especially the media to tread cautiously. Former President Rawlings said times are really hard and there is no doubt some would have done it out of greed, like some politicians, businessmen and so-called men of God. He pointed out that to profit from politics, others release armed robbers and other criminals back onto the street. According to the former president, it is important that the relevant institutions and authorities take the necessary steps to investigate fully those revelations and deal appropriately with the culprits. He cautioned the media and members of the public to exercise a lot of circumspection and restraint so they do not end up bringing the reputation of many members of the judiciary who have the integrity intact into disrepute.
Ranking member on Constitutional, Legal and Parliamentary Affairs Joseph Osewusu says he is scandalized by the massive alleged corruption in the judiciary. He said the expose by Anas Aremeyaw Anas brought to the fore hardcore evidence which cannot be swept under the carpet. Speaking on a current affairs program behind the news last night, Mr. Osewusu commended the Chief Justice and the Judicial Council for taking swift move by suspending the persons involved. He, however, pleaded with the public to be circumspect in commenting on the issues as the case remains mere allegations until proven otherwise.
I was not surprised, but I was scandalized. We've had a lot of rumors, large amounts of perception in the people's mind, but probably the first time I'm confronted with alleged hardcore evidence to support the rumors and all the perceptions people have. So even though I've not seen the evidence, I'm already scandalized that such matters should now be available. I would wish that they remain rumors. And when there's a hardcore evidence that's alleged, then nobody can run away from the reality now anymore.
But looking at what is happening in the media, especially former President Rawlings wants circumspection on the issue in order not to destroy or tarnish the entire judiciary. What do you think?
I think he is right in that sense, circumspection. Circumspection in the sense that what we're talking about now remains an allegation until they have been proven. That's why the judicial process has been kick-started, and the evidence will be put before the judges or the panel who will determine whether the judge and the evidence are admissible, and two, whether when admissible, the weight is sufficient to support or ground the charges that will be brought against the named judges. So I guess I agree with him that we should not be too excited and come to a conclusion that the evidence is conclusive. No, the persons named or identified will be given the opportunity to challenge the content. And if they're able to show that indeed there's a justifiable defense, or that even or the faces they see in the tape are not them, or the voices are not them, then the judge will have to determine who to believe. So we should not be excited, overexcited. There's a process for determining the value of the evidence and even the admissibility of the evidence that we're talking about here.
Ranking Member on Constitutional and Legal Parliamentary Affairs, Joseph Osewusu, talking to Agatha Samoa. A law lecturer at the Central University College, Yawapong, says it is legally unacceptable to label the judges cited in the alleged corruption scandal guilty until proven by a court of competent jurisdiction. Speaking on Behind the News, Ms. Opong said there is a need for Anas to be cross-examined to establish the truth in the allegations. He spoke to Agatha Samoa.
It's regrettable indeed that even people who should know better, including even prosecutors, have called for the prosecution of these people based on these allegations, which I am very sure they had not even seen the details of, and that just based on allegations that have been thrown about in the media, people can just conclude that allegations are proven and therefore the people should be prosecuted or otherwise punished. It is regrettable.
We hear some of these judges are calling for Anas to be cross-examined. Should this be allowed or entertained?
I think he even understands that better than some others, because being a lawyer, he knows that once you make an allegation, especially allegations that border on the commission of criminal offense, then if you give your evidence and you are not even available to be cross-examined, the evidence may be struck out. And so he understands that. I'm very sure that if need be, and criminal prosecution may be founded on the allegations that he has made, I'm pretty sure that he will be available to give evidence and also available to be cross-examined. If it had been some other state institutions or other organs of state, they may have also decided to set up a new committee to look into allegations, and eventually some people may not even be found culpable, even when the facts are proven, or may not even be punished. But this is an organ of state that has opened up its doors. Allegations have been made. They are determined to follow the due process of the law. Give people the opportunity to be heard, fair opportunity to be heard, in compliance with the rule of law and the set of legal framework that we have fashioned out for ourselves. So I think that we should rather highlight the good side of it. So I agree to a large extent the former President Rawlings. I think that's an excellent admonition to all of us. Be that as it may, this should not diminish the growing public confidence in the judicial system. It should rather enhance it.
That was a law lecturer at the Central University College, Yao Opong. The child rights activist Bright Appiah says Ghanaians must not take the judiciary for granted. Speaking to Radio Ghana on possible human rights violations following the expose on alleged corruption, Mr. Appiah wondered if cases that passed through these judges could be reviewed in order to pardon those who might have suffered abuses. He spoke to George Ankra.
First of all, I appreciate the work that has been done by Kanal Sarimiao. He's a very great piece. We need to commend him for the great work that he's done, the life that he has laid down for some of this revelation to come up and all that. So we'd appreciate him for the work that has been done. And I think that looking at the position of our judiciary, we need not to underestimate what they can do, as well as not to also take them for granted. It's an institution that even anything that happens in this country, and you want to seek for justice, this is the very same institution that you have to go to seek for justice and all that. So it plays a very important role in terms of how the ordinary person can seek for justice. But looking at the expose and the outcome of it, the negotiations that have gone on, to the extent that some judges negotiating for gold and yams and other things, it places a whole lot of responsibility on them. So for me, if these people have certain cases that relate to human rights violations, there are certain cases that relate to criminalities and all that, the system should be able to investigate that further to see whether indeed in their judgment they were able to do fairness on the surface of the law, to see whether pronouncement that they make, decisions that they have made to that effect are really in line with law, and if they were not influenced by any external forces in relation to some of the revelations that were made in the expose that Anas came out with. So the council must take time to investigate a lot of things, because it has to do with the lives of people. It has to do with fundamental human rights of persons. So we cannot just take it for granted. But once those that have been involved, because the judges that are involved are not ordinary judges, they start on serious cases that relate to human rights violations, that relate to financial issues here and there. So if the judiciary wants to do justice to that institution so that it will also clear itself away from some of the things that we've heard, they should also try as much as possible to look at serious cases that relate to human rights violations and how they were dealt with by these very same judges, and then ensure that the ordinary people get justice.
Does that mean they are called lords? They should be allowed to do anything they want to do, and then allow people to suffer incarceration in the face of injustice?
Not at all. That is why, on the basis of the proposal that I'm not made, that's why I'm making that statement, that whatever it is, within the law, they make judgment, and that judgment goes to affect people. Therefore, we have to treat that institution serious. And anything that concerns an institution, we have to accord it with all the necessary things that we have to do to ensure that their judgment, they are fair, and then also whatever they say is by law.
A child rights activist, Bright Appiah. Away from that, the Ministry of Foreign Affairs and Regional Integration has once again asked the public to desist from engaging the services of middlemen known as Goro Boys in the acquisition of passports. The chief director at the ministry, Leslie Christian, said this at a news conference in Accra. He said the news conference has become necessary because his office has been overwhelmed with reports of people being duped in the process of acquiring a passport. Mr. Christian said the new system of acquiring a biometric passport would be fast if the public stops engaging the services of Guru Boys. Yvonne Atinegu and David Ture have filed this report.
Engaging the services of middlemen or Guru Boys in the acquisition of passport is not a new thing. This is because the public tend to believe that it is the easiest and fastest way to acquire a passport. Mr. Christian said the ministry has identified the issue of Goro Boys and many other challenges hindering easy acquisition of passports.
Inadequate documentation provided by applicants, especially those who try to process the applications through middlemen and are not present to provide required documentation at the PACs, multiple applications under different names, security concerns and human errors on the part of the applicant. Applicants are therefore advised to provide their correct contact information so that if there is a need to contact them, they can be easily reached. As part of the ongoing efforts to address the above-mentioned challenges, prospective applicants are hereby advised to provide relevant and verifiable information to facilitate processing of the application. We are using this medium to caution applicants against the use of intermediaries, which tend to complicate the rather simple application process, not to mention the risk of their being financially exploited.
The director Director of Passport Alexander Grant Nchakwa mentioned the lack of a dedicated call center as another challenge facing the office. According to him, making of inquiries should not take the public to come all the way to the passport office.
We are having discussions with our IT department. We even want to create a call center where people could call and then somebody could give them some information about the status of their passport. But even to add to that, the good news is that plans are far advanced for the passport office to deploy online. The pilot project was done with NISA as far back as 17 December 2014. On that day, we managed to get 6 applicants to apply online, and within 3 days, we got their passport. The challenge we had was the payment platform. And my chief director is chairing a committee that is having discussions with some of the councillors we want to deploy on the passport. As soon as we get the green line, we have a timeline for ourselves. Before the year ends, passport office will be online, and it will make it easier for everybody to apply. You go online, you apply, you are given your appointment date, you go to the center and you are captured and you go. And that arrangement is also going to be done in such a way that you will even get SMS messages as regards your status of your application and what have you.
That was a report filed by Ivona Tinego and David Ture.
This bulletin comes to you from Radio Ghana, Accra, the major stories. National Council of NPP recommends suspension of party chairman Paul Afoku for alleged breach of party's constitution. Former President Rawlings calls for second inspection in dealing with alleged corruption scandal in judiciary. Public warned against engaging services of middlemen in acquisition of passport. And U.S. suspect IS militant group still use deadly chemical weapons in Iraq and Syria. Please stay with us.
Welcome back. A 2015 open budget survey conducted by Send Ghana indicates that Ghana lacks transparency in the preparation of annual budgets. The country scored 51% below the set target of 67. The survey also shows that Ghana's performance in making available 8 key budget documents to the public has not been encouraging. The report said Ghana, which is among 102 countries surveyed, the Volta River Authority, VRA, says the exportation of hydropower to the country's neighbors is contractual rather than a volition. According to VRA, Ghana is bound by the agreement it signed with the United States for a credit facility to build the Akonsombo hydroelectric dam in the 1960s. An officer at the corporate communications unit, Bellona Gerald Vito Kwao, said this at the forum in Kumasi. She was responding to concerns raised as to why Ghana should export part of its energy to her neighbors when she does not have enough for domestic consumption. Madame Vito Kwao stressed that Ghana would not have been able to access the credit facility for the Akonsombo Dam if the then government had not made those concessions. Ghana currently exports about 500 megawatts of electricity to Cote d'Ivoire. That agreement, she explained, allows Cote d'Ivoire to in turn lend power to Ghana anytime she is in need. That agreement notwithstanding, Madam Vito Kwao noted that exporting power to neighboring countries is in the true spirit of brotherliness. She therefore appealed to Ghanaians to bear with the situation, especially as everything possible is being done to generate enough energy for local consumption.
An audiologist at the National Assessment and Resource Center for Children with Disabilities, Mrs. Ramat Al-Hassan, has asked Ghanaians to prioritize hearing assessment in their daily activities. She said hearing is one of the most important senses, which when lost makes communication difficult. Speaking in an interview with Radio Ghana at an assessment screening for staff at Broadcasting House in Accra, Mrs. Al-Hassan stressed the need for people to avoid loud sounds and the insertion of any object in the ear because it can damage it.
The wife of the Vice President, Mrs. Matilda Emisa Ata, has stressed the need for Ghanaians, especially the youth, to develop interest in gardening and flower cultivation as an avenue for job creation. Mrs. Emisa Ata said this yesterday at the opening of a 4-day gardening and flower exhibition in Accra.
Ensuring religious tolerance and peaceful coexistence between the Muslim community and Christians has been taken a notch higher. This follows a historic visit by the National Chief Imam, Sheikh Osman Nuhu Sharabutu, to the residence of leader of the Spiritual Churches Council Ghana, Prophet Nakwa Nazareth and Saint Johnson in Accra. The two leaders used the occasion to echo the need for peace to promote development.
A presenter at Success FM at Gosu in the Sonafu North municipality of Bonafu, King George Abanga, has been shot and killed by armed robbers on the Sankore Kwapong Trunk Road. According to a police source at Gosu, King George was shot by the robbers when he tried to evade their roadblock on his motorbike yesterday. The police source said the robbers were targeting a Kokobo district officer who they believed had withdrawn a huge sum of money at a bank at Sankore. They therefore mounted a roadblock to rob the officer, but his driver managed to escape, although the robbers blew out a couple of tires with gunfire. The robbers then proceeded to stop other cars plying the road and rob the motorists and passengers. According to the police, the presenter, King George, who was en route from Sankore to Gosu on a motorbike, got to the robbery scene and attempted to outwit the robbers with a burst of speed, but was shot and killed. His body has since been deposited at a mortuary at the Gosu Government Hospital, while police investigations are underway. According to reports, King George was working on a cocoa-related story and had traveled to Sankore to interview some fathers. King George got married last year and left behind a child.
The Circuit Court in Accra, trying the president of the Music Council of Ghana, Ekwo Maika, has taken a two-week break. This is because a forensic report on the substance alleged to be narcotic drugs is not ready. The court last Friday directed the prosecution to obtain a forensic report on the alleged narcotic drugs found in the backpack of Maika. The examination was also to determine the quantity of the substance. Prosecuting ASP patients Japan, who held a brief for ACP Moses Atibila, laboratory results will be ready by Monday. Presiding Judge Abajitando adjourned the case to the 22nd of this month in view of the bar conference, which comes up from the 13th to the 18th of this month. Maika is being held for alleged possession of narcotic drugs without a lawful authority. He has pleaded not guilty and remains in custody. Two out of the proposed three prosecuting witnesses have testified so far.
Away from the shores of Ghana, there is growing belief within the U.S. government that the Islamic State militant group is making and using crude chemical weapons in Iraq and Syria. U.S. officials say they have identified at least four occasions on both sides of the Iraq-Syria border where IS has used mustard agents. The mustard agent was probably being used in powder form and packed into traditional explosives like mortar rounds. The U.S. believes the group has a cell dedicated to building these weapons.
Today is the 14th anniversary of the attacks that brought down the World Trade Center in New York and destroyed part of the Pentagon, killing nearly 3,000 people. The Federal Bureau of Investigation in Washington says it has picked up no specific or credible threats linked to the anniversary of the September 11, 2001 attacks on the United States. FBI Director James Comey said it is closely watching for threats from Al-Qaeda and ISIS.
And rescue work is continuing in the Ibaraki and Tochigi prefectures in Japan, where hundreds of people have been stranded following floods. At least two people have been confirmed killed and 25 others still missing across the region's worst hit.
Now to Indonesia, main point again. The National Council of NPPs to suspend its party chairman Paula Fuku for allegedly breaching the party's constitution. The party's National Council has given a 7-page letter to the party's disciplinary committee ordering that steps be taken to suspend Mr. Fuku. This follows the council's previous meeting with Mr. Fuku over some turbulence in the party. former President Jerry John Rawlings has expressed sadness about the alleged bribery among members of the judiciary. In a statement, Mr. Rawlings called for circumspection and tact in dealing with the revelations brought forth by ace investigative journalist Anas Aremiyaw Anas. The former president called on the relevant institutions and authorities to take the necessary steps to investigate fully the revelations and deal appropriately with the culprits. The Ministry of Foreign Affairs and Regional Integration has cautioned the public not to engage the services of middlemen known as guru boys in the acquisition of passports. Speaking at a news conference, the chief director of the ministry, Leslie Christian, said his office has been overwhelmed with reports of people being duped in the process of acquiring passports. And the U.S. government is suspecting the Islamic State militant group of making and using crude chemical weapons in Iraq and Syria. U.S. officials say they have identified at least four occasions on both sides of the Iraq-Syria border where IS has used mastered agents. The news was presented by Abraham Donko
and Jonathan Thompson in Accra.